Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamill, and my pod sister, Noor. Hi, Noor.
And I'm feeling like basically no real life sister too. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
we've had enough meals together to be family.
How many have we had? Four? Three?
Enough.
You know, now, Noor, myself, and Kix did a reckless thing, and this was mostly led by you. After Ramona revealed Teresa's wedding location and date and all that information, the three of us decided to make a reservation at Rails, where the rehearsal dinner is, the night before.
So if anybody else would like to
did you see that she's changing everything?
Well, she changed the location of her wedding, but I don't think that she's changing, like, her rehearsal dinner. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I'm so excited.
It's fucking Teresa. Of course she's having it at Rails.
I'm so excited to go to Rails. I can't wait to get called a faggot at Rails.
Cross your fingers. You know, you could do that at Rails, even if it wasn't a Judice, whatever his last name is, wedding event.
No, I know, that's what I'm saying. Rails, just in
okay.
General, like it gives off like we hate gays.
Yeah. There's always like men dressed like Joe Judice, having cocktails, eating steak.
Yeah, but I also want to do that too a bit. Like,
yeah, of course.
Have a nice teeny, have a nice meal. You know, maybe I'll dress like a mobster.
Yeah.
Well. First of all, before we get into everything, if you do not follow The Reality Is Pod, what are you doing? They are the best pod out there. And they, by they, I mean you.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, seriously. But for those that may be new to our podcast or maybe coming here from The Reality Is, we love Noor here. And I'm just happy to have you here today to gab about everything but The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, my God. Yes, thank you.
Because but before we chat about everything else, just real quick, we decided not to watch this week because we just don't really have the energy. I mean, I think you are going to be watching tonight at some point, but I just, it's like, I think it's a mixture of a couple things. First, the internet discourse continues to be just so annoying to me. I'm not saying I disagree with what people are saying. It's just like, I don't need to hear the 10,000th person's take on why Kyle like shouldn't have done what she did. Like, I'm like, yeah, they suck. Once again, these people are bad. Why do you have to constantly be reminded of it?
Needless to
go ahead.
Needless to say, listen to my Saturday episode. That will be a deep dive into why that episode was so problematic.
But I trust you with that. But I just mean, like, I just don't want to scroll Instagram and be like, I'm like, yes, of course. I don't want to watch this clip again. Especially because, I think they're so problematic. There's been wilder things that have not gotten this much attention.
Well, so the thing that I've noticed is that, like, there is people that have always known that these women are the fucking worst, right? Like, me and you and anybody with half of a brain. And then, now recently, I feel like there's a bit of a bandwagon jump happening here for a lot of people that a lot of people that are now, like, becoming a social media person in the Bravo space. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a little bit of, like, a clout chasing element to the constant content being made about this show. I will say what's really fucking weird and annoying is, like, why are we getting, like, I don't know, 8 minutes of the episode on, like, a week in advance? I don't quite understand.
No, I don't get it either.
Why Bravo keeps doing that. And then also, because we know that when we watch the damn show, it's going to be like, minutes of things that we've already seen, about 12 minutes of people just entering and leaving rooms, glam squads, and, like, you know, people just complimenting each other. So, like, that's half of the fucking episode right there.
Right.
And then the rest of it is what? Like Rinna saying something dumb and Kyle opening her mouth. Like, I'm not sure here's what's frustrating. I'm not sure what Bravo's thinking about doing that, but I feel like we're falling right into their trap by talking about it ad nauseum for a week before the episode even rolls. You know?
Yeah, well, they're smartly keeping Beverly Hills top of mind for people. Like, it's like very, it's on everyone. Everyone's talking about it, you know? But it's just like, I don't think it's that important. There's much more entertaining things happening on different television programs, like that deserve more like energy than this. Like, I feel like no one's talking about Girls Trip and no one's talking about Atlanta, but everyone is talking about Erica being an asshole, which we knew, Lisa being a microaggression on top of a microaggression, which we knew. Like, y'all. Because here's the other thing. When we give them, we are part of the problem because we're giving them the attention, especially with Lisa Rinna. I'm sorry. We are a part of the problem with her because, like, I honestly don't think calling her out does anything but fuel her to be more of like a demon. Like, she's growing into like the full on like Power Ranger demon, you know, when they like all become one.
Yeah, are you watching Stranger Things?
Yes.
I haven't watched season, but she is like a Vecna in that she is growing the more people are frustrated by her. Absolutely. Like, she is powered by the sadness and despair around her.
She kind of looks like Vecna.
Especially in the getup that I'm seeing previews of with the crazy, like, Adam West Batman Joker ensemble that she's got on.
It's so, thank you for the Adam West Batman reference. It's so like that era of like old school comic book villain.
She is a comic book villain. That's what it is. I think she's just like, you know what? My husband doesn't live here. He lives in Canada 9 months out of the year. My daughters don't talk, but we're not going to talk about that on camera, certainly. Instead, I will at most give you some dirty rat footage in my house and these ensembles.
Well, and she's talking about her, and then when she pulled I love how we said we're not going to talk about it and all we're doing is talking about it, but the rage being like associated with her grief, her grieving process. It's like, stop. Like,
so disrespectful phone down. To Lois.
Like, Lois literally just rolled out of her grave and back in it and then back out again because, like, she's like, shut up. Stop.
I don't know.
Like,
yeah.
That anger is a real thing with grief. I'm not saying that that's not real. I just mean, like,
not with you, Rinna.
Rinna, no. Like, that's not why you did that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why do these women hate Garcelle so much? I'm serious. Garcelle, is it that they're intimidated by the fact that she is the breath of fresh that will carry this franchise? Like, she is narrowly becoming the queen of it. And Andy's in for it because Andy loves her. You can tell. And so I work with and I'm friends with Stan, Andy's personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And Stan was Stan was on Watch What Happens Live with Garcelle and Z-Way. And he doesn't know anything about, he was like, he doesn't watch any of the shows, doesn't know anything. But I was like talking to him the next day at work. I was like, tell me about like the show and everything. And he was like, Andy loves her. And he was like, I don't know. He was like, I have no idea who she is. Because he just like, no. He was like, but he loves her. He was like, I can just tell. Like, he was like, she's really, I think she's the star. And he was like, is she the star of the show? He asked me that. And I think so.
I think what's happening with Garcelle is that they really thought that they could, like make Garcelle, I don't know, work for her job, so to speak, right? Like, yeah. I think that Kyle and Lisa Rinna specifically have their ego has blown up so much from being able to literally run Lisa Vanderpump off the show that they really think that they're doing something. Like, they did it with LVP, they did it with Denise, and so they think that they can do it with Garcelle. And Garcelle was like, no, bitch, I am somebody who's been here for a long fucking time, and I've worked really, really hard for my position in Hollywood, and I'm beloved, and I'm eating up this new chapter of my life where I am on a talk show and I'm on a reality TV show. And like, Garcelle's really having like a second coming, but like, she's having this like renaissance, if you will, where she is now like somebody to people who maybe didn't consume her before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't know Garcelle from the 90s or even the early 2000s, you definitely know her now. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that's really exciting for her. And it's something that is painfully, obviously, not something that Lisa, Rinna, and Kyle are able to get, right? Like, Kyle every season comes on talking about some movie she's in, right? She's been doing the Halloween movies for like 6 years. We've been hearing about the Halloween movie, and the Halloween bangs keep showing up. And like, that's all she has. She doesn't have anything besides Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Garcelle does. And you know, Sutton, for as like, as much as she drives me insane, Sutton has a life outside of this dumb fucking show.
No, guys.
All these other...
Sutton is the best. No, I love her. I love that crazy racist bitch so much.
Like, she's nuts, okay? If I met Sutton in person, I'd be like, I'm terrified of this lady. And I do not want to talk to her.
And she is, I've stood next to her, and she's about as tall as this water bottle. I mean, she is the smallest thing. That's the other thing that's funny to me. These women, Kyle is so short. Like, all these women are so, like, little and just, like, ruining 90210. I don't know what I'm trying to say. They're just like, we picture them as these like beautiful, these like, not maybe not beautiful, but like larger than life people, and you see them in person and they're just like these like puny little ladies.
Yeah, it's like, how much power do you wield? Not the, much, but I
the real puny little ladies of Beverly Hills.
Teeny tiny eating disorders all over.
Oh, God, really? Sure.
But, you know, I think they just realize that they can't do that with Garcelle. They can't. I mean, Teddy tries apparently every week. I don't listen to that dumb podcast, but apparently
I do the sometimes. Internet. Tom. No, I like to listen when it has to be the right time. Like, I loved the episode with all of the Fox Force 5 because I needed to hear them talk about the season, and it was fun to hear them talk about it and me laugh because I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are wrong for that. And then like Crystal's interview was really good. I like to hear them talk to people, but like the recaps, no, I don't want to listen to them talk about the shows because they center themselves in it.
Well, like Teddy, like she tries, she's basically like, Kyle, don't worry, I have a podcast and I know how I can turn people's opinions of you. And it's like, Teddy, you make it worse every time. If anything, Kyle's stock dropped the most when she aligned herself with Teddy Mellencamp. Like, it's hilarious to think how highly they think of themselves. But the thing is, Tom, there's a lot of idiots that still love these women.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, if you align yourself with flops, you're a flop.
Flops, no flops.
Flop, recognize flop. Like, these people are flops, y'all. Don't align yourself with a flop, okay? You're better than that. You don't have to be a flop.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we'll say about that. But
I hate the show and I'm not going to talk about it. Meanwhile, 17 minutes later.
Wait, are you watching anything else like non-Bravo right now or non-Housewives right now that you're loving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm watching Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, see, I never finished season one. But Martin Short is my comedy hero, so I don't know why I did.
I don't understand. I don't understand. He's a delight.
Martin Short as Jiminy, I mean, I know it's not. I know it is so, it would never pass now, but I'm sorry, y'all. Martin Short as Jiminy Glick is if you don't know who Jiminy Glick is a character that Martin Short created where he puts on this huge fat suit and interviews celebrities. And if you need a really good like chuckle on a sad day, just look up Jiminy Glick videos. I sob laughing. There's a clip of him, and he had a movie too, Jiminy Glick, and he's on a red carpet, like an actual red carpet. It's not like a staged red carpet for the movie. They're filming the movie like at a premiere or something, and Kiefer Sutherland is in the movie, and if I'm feeling sad, I go and look up this video because it makes me laugh. Like, I'm gonna cry laughing talking about it. Like it's like Muppet level tears for me. He sees Kiefer and he's like, Kiefer, 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 Kiefer.
You know what, Tom? Kiefer, why don't Kiefer, you put the YouTube link in the description of this episode? Okay, give us all that.
It's so fucking funny. And he's like, Kiefer, 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 Kiefer.
I love, yeah, and him and Steve Martin together are just dream.
I love him as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you are not watching it because it is a good show.
That should be my new. I have my bedtime shows right now. I'm working through Westworld.
Doing
it for me anymore.
No, you should have stopped after the first season. Okay?
No, I never watched season two. So I'm like halfway through season two, and every morning I wake up and I'm like, I think I have no idea what happened in that episode last night. And was it the edibles? Maybe. Was it the wine? Maybe. Was it that there's no storyline that makes sense in Westworld? Maybe.
Probably that one. Don't blame your good friends, wine and edibles, okay?
I love them so. I've really been leaning on them lately, too, with the world.
I recorded with you last Thursday and nothing has gotten better.
No, oh my god, that feels like years ago.
Just one calendar week ago.
Interesting.
Well, okay, so I'm watching Only Murders in the Building and I'm watching Stranger Things. And you know what? I didn't know that Brooklyn Nine-Nine had released a final episode or final season. So I went and watched it.
It moved to Hulu, right?
Yeah. And then they did one final season. And so I've been watching that. And you know, if you just pretend like they're not cops, it's a great show.
I know, that's the thing with it. I actually even think people on the show are like, just ignore that we're playing cops, because like I don't think anyone's down for that premise, even Andy Samberg. But like,
yeah. So the last season is basically about that, and yeah, like I heard whatever. That. Spoiler alert: most of the force quits because that's the whole thing.
Right,
like at
right.
the end, they're two good people to be part of the fucking NYPD. So
yeah, I think Chelsea Peretti is so fucking funny.
Amazing.
So good. Wait. Okay, so we are going to spend the bulk of our time right now talking about Ultimate Girls Trip episode 5 and 4, mm-hmm. actually. We're going to touch on 4 and 5 because we didn't talk about 4 last week.
Yeah.
On this podcast. But Brandy released a song today. Did you listen?
I did not.
Well, what we are going to do right now is listen to a bit of it, because I just opened my Spotify, not prepped for this, and it is the song that's like at the bottom.
Oh my god.
So it's a rap song.
Okay.
Take that what you will. It's called Life of a Housewife. And here's a little snippet. Wait, just real quick. She said taking cocks, I believe, is what she just said, but I'm gonna keep playing.
Oh my god.
Andy says if we stay or go, some of these bitches think they run the show. Like,
what?
Andy says, like, what?
Okay. Okay. You know what? I just want to take a moment right now to apologize to the world for you know, for enabling any of this, because Brandi Glidden's gotta go. She's gotta go.
I love her so much. I'm serious.
I know you do. I know you do. Oh, you know what, Tom? Now officially this episode is an intervention.
I know. But what's funny is the irony of her releasing this song on the same day that that horrific episode came out today. like Brandi, like, this isn't damage control.
No, I don't. And it's so funny because I'm sure we'll talk about it, but the entire episode is essentially who is the thirstiest person here.
See, I love that. But yeah. I will stand on this. I do not think Brandi is the thirstiest. I don't. I find,
Tom, did you not just hear the song?
I get it, but I really think she is in on it more than you think she is. Like, I don't think she is a gifted comedian, but I do think that she, like, gets that she's a washed-up reality star.
But here's the thing. I would believe that she thinks that she knows that she's a washed-up reality star if she didn't take herself so seriously.
But, see, I don't think she does take herself so seriously.
No, because she's too sensitive. That's the thing, right? Like, you can't sit here on and be like, oh, what? I'm just joking. This is just the life of a housewife, right? But, like, then also be so sensitive and so, like, upset about things and say shit to Taylor like, oh, I just wanted to talk to you because, you know, that season was so hard for me because your husband killed himself. Like, I don't think that Brandi, you can't be smart and stupid at the same time, to quote Bethany Frankel.
But I never said, okay? I never said she was smart.
I mean, yes, that's true. You didn't say that she's smart. So you're saying she's just ignorantly.
I think she's I think she is an idiot, and I think she's evil, uh-huh. But I think she's amazing for reality television. And I think she has a toe in the puddle of in on it when some other housewives don't even have a toenail in there.
I don't know. I don't think that you can have even a toenail or a pinky toe of being in on it while uh-huh. also being like, oh, what, I said something stupid. Like, no, but you can't do that.
Okay, but I truly think she is so dumb, though, that she doesn't get why saying something like, that was the hardest year of my life, to Taylor, why that's wrong.
Right, but I don't think we should be awarding those people by giving them screen time.
But
you do, because you think it's
hilarious. Because I want to watch chaos. And that's why this is the best show I've ever seen.
I still stand by even more so this episode, and now even more so after listening to this hip opera that you just dropped, that I think that she is Christine Quinn ran through a washing machine. Nobody read the instructions then, on how to wash.
And then through a laminator and then back in the washing machine again.
She's a mess. Like, why hasn't anybody told her to brush her extensions? They're so bad.
I don't know why I thought you were gonna say this, because I'm really bad at noticing hair and makeup. I'm not someone who, like, sees that. When you said, why hasn't anyone told her to brush her, I thought you were gonna say teeth.
You know, I can't even, like, I've not looked at her teeth.
There's no way someone who drinks so much vodka does not smell bad.
She's a disaster.
She's a disaster. And something that I said on your podcast last week, but now I'm going to bring it over here. Mm-hmm. Dorinda, I think this show is the worst thing that could have happened to Dorinda's future on Housewives, because it created a monster. Like, and we were entering monster territory, and I do really like Dorinda for the show, but for me, I'm past liking her as a person anymore. I mean, she is hard to watch, and giving her the opportunity to host this many people on television with a crew where she's planting hot air balloons in her backyard, I'm like, we're watching her head literally explode as that balloon gets inflated. I mean, the ego is insane. I mean, every time they go somewhere, she, like, shows up and is like, giving them a history lesson and a performance and a blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no one wants to hear that. I mean, on this episode, I almost was Team Vicky and Tamara.
I was like, why is she being so mad at Vicky for wanting to whoop it up? Like, I don't blame Vicky for wanting to whoop it up because you guys are boring as shit.
And I agree. It was stuffy there.
So stuffy. Okay, she's like, people come from far and near. And I was like, how far? Because I don't think anybody's going to the Lion's Head Inn or whatever that place was.
Red Lion Inn, get it right.
Okay, so sorry. It was just like, it honestly, I mean, I'm from Jersey and there's a lot of musty old colonial places all over
like
here.
Little houses turned restaurants. Like, yeah.
It's not, and I don't know, like, Eva and Phaedra didn't say anything, but I don't think the two black women really want to go into an establishment that existed in the 1700s in North America, thank you.
And hear about the history.
Yeah, not impressed. Okay, who built this place, Dorinda? And like, there is this thing, right? I want to talk more about Dorinda, but like, I do think that if Dorinda was given a television show in her 30s, mm-hmm. she would have turned into Brandy by the time she turned 50. I think that they both are.
Yeah, I see it, that.
And that's why there's so much sympathy there, right? Between mm-hmm. Dorinda and Brandy. Like, they both recognize each other's absolute batshit crazy stuff. But they both are, out of everyone, they're the most easily forgiving to each other. And I think that's the reason why. Is because I think that they're like, oh shit, the mirror is shining too bright. And I see myself in you. And I think that's why they're so kind to each other. Because I think they're the same.
Well... Speaking of age, now we're going to hop around this episode because so much happened, but at the end of episode 5, we honestly, the biggest reveal of 2022 to me, because Phaedra was all of us when I was watching it this morning, I was like, I am Phaedra. She is me, like, hearing this information. Mm-hmm. Brandy gets in a fight with the ladies. Phaedra takes her away. They sit down. Well, no, first they go to the bar and Brandy says, get me a vodka. And the bartender's like, yes, of course, of course. And then Phaedra sits down with her and they're talking about the whole fight. And Phaedra says, like, what does she say to her? Something about her being, what does she say about her being older than her?
Yeah, she said, listen, that lady, she could be old enough to be your mama.
Oh, yes. And Brandy goes, she's 5 years older than me. And the my favorite person is the bartender, like, chuck. Yes! Like, shoulders, like, at his, like, ears, chuggling.
His mask is moving in and out from the breath.
I can't. And I'm sorry. What? Can we just talk about this, though? 5 years? What?
Yeah, I looked up everybody's age.
They're Dorinda,
by the way, is not 5 years. She's not 5 years older than Brandy. She's, I think, 7 or 8 years older than Brandy.
Still close. That's still closer than...
close. So the most shocking thing in that moment was I thought to myself, I have no idea how old these women are. Like, I'm completely out. The only thing I know is that Eva is my age or close to my age.
Yeah,
but
she
besides
has to be,
everybody else.
Yeah, late 30s, mid 30s. Like,
even Phaedra was at the Darobics episode, was like, oh, in the 80s, I was a baby. And I was like, you were? But apparently, yeah, she was very young because Phaedra's only like 47.
Oh, that's actually a little older than I thought she, was like early 40s for some reason.
Yeah, I know. I did too. But she's 47. So then I looked up everyone's age. Vicky's the eldest. She's 60.
Mm, cheers.
Then we got cheers.
Maybe that's
to
why
you.
She's melting from the inside out.
My brother called her.
Please.
He called her a baked Alaska that had been left out in the sun.
That's kind. I hope she hears that.
He said it's a baked Alaska if somebody stopped flambeing the top and just, like, left it out on the sun.
Just, like, rotted dairy.
Yeah, just, like, melting peaks of white dairy. Anyway, so it's Vicky. Then it's Jill, who's I think like 59 or 58. Then it's Dorinda.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Tamara Barney. It's 54 years old.
Yeah, I knew that.
It's shocking.
I mean, I know her exact age.
Taylor was older.
No, Taylor. Is Brandy older than Taylor?
No.
But they have to be right around the same age.
Taylor's 51 and Brandy
you
is
really
48.
You really know all these numbers right off the top of your head.
I literally just looked it up okay. before we started recording.
So Taylor, I mean, I don't think Brandy's had stellar work either, but like something about something about Taylor's work has really aged her.
Yeah, I think Taylor had, I mean, first of all, I do want to pay respect to the fact that this woman did have to get her entire face reconstructed. So there is that,
yes.
right? Because she was in this horrible
yes,
relationship.
Yes.
But you can definitely tell that in that Taylor got her work done in the 90s when that particular look was like really in. Like very tall, no butt, big old boobies,
mm-hmm.
big lips, very blonde. Like she has a very like Americana 1990s bombshell look to her.
Right, right.
And that is basically the look that she's been carrying into now as she's older. And it's also her makeup. She does that like weird brown
yeah,
lipstick.
No, she needs someone to teach her how to like paint her, truly paint her face. Cause she's caking on like a, it's like a one coat clown makeup.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, it's time to go out and just like puts on a one layer of foundation, but there's like no nuance to it. And like, also just don't wear makeup. I don't even care. I'm just saying like, don't do it like that though.
Don't do it. Ask Tamara to do your makeup. Tamara does an excellent,
she
and
does.
Even Vicky.
Vicky kills
once
it.
Vicky is post steroid Vicky looks great.
Yeah. Once Vicky's gone into the freezer for a little bit and like gotten her shit together and stopped melting, she gets together.
She got it together.
Have
and
you seen,
I will say,
wait, have you seen the yeah. memes going around of, Austin Butler as Elvis, like old Elvis.
Yes.
And people saying that it looks yes. like Vicky.
Honey, I'm the one that made that meme.
Oh, I thought, no, I saw one before that, before yours. I didn't even think I've seen yours.
I said that was Vicky, that Austin Butler melting as old Elvis.
I have to get to the bottom
COVID
of this.
Fever.
When did I screenshot that? No, this came from a different person. Maybe they stole it from you. They posted it on June 30th at 10 p.m.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's see. When did I post this? I posted this 4 days ago. You're right.
Well,
so maybe
looks
they
like
did it
you
first.
Are stealing from people.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, there happens to just be two geniuses in the world. Okay.
We'll take that up with the Instagram police, okay?
Now I'm offended. Now I'm like, how dare you?
How dare me? How dare you? You stole something.
I did not.
I'm kidding.
I'm upset.
There are some people that will... Never mind, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. I was going to say
Let's
something.
Not get into it.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, so at the top
but
of that...
But Austin Butler as old Elvis. It does look like Vicky.
It does. I'm sorry, y'all. It does.
It really does.
We don't make the rules. Boz Luhrmann
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
What if Boz Luhrmann did a musical adaptation of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip XY's Club, but it was a jukebox musical with like popular songs, but given the Boz Luhrmann like sheen, you know how everything he has is like so like gay, even mm-hmm. though he's deceivingly straight.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, the next step in this Housewives evolution, like we're having these mashup shows. I'm ready for a dramatic adaptation.
Film.
Yeah. I mean, where are we at? I mean, Vicky deserves the Jessica Chastain treatment.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? She would do an amazing Vicky.
Amazing. Honestly, just recreate Eyes of Tammy Faye. We'll bring back Andrew Garfield and he'll play Brooks in a fat suit. Or we have Jiminy Glick come back and play Brooks Marks. Not Brooks Marks. Oh my God, Brooks.
My God,
Ayers.
Martin Short as Jiminy Glick as Brooks. York.
Wait, Martin Short as Vicky Gumbelson actually would be amazing.
This is deranged.
Well, so at the top of the episode, end of episode 4, we get this wild fight with Jill, which I loved so much because I loved that we're seeing fights that are not included in the trailer. It's like there are more, like this fight that happened with Dorinda and Brandy, that was not in the trailer, where there's like so much there when I really loved the first girls trip, but we saw everything in the trailer and it was just kind of like a jolt of energy and like it was fun and funny. But like this really has a lot going on. And so Dorinda barges in on Jill while she's like talking to the camera / Eva about this like bizarre comment that Dorinda made. And then the fight kind of, we get more flashbacks to it in this episode. And Dorinda was being awful.
So nasty and so rude.
She was saying like, she was like, I was there when Bobby died and you had cameras. I'm like, stop. Like, what are you trying to do? Just ruin people? Is that like your MO? Like, you want to just ruin people's lives?
I think that Dorinda, like, you know, we've heard her talk about this lion's head in. I know it's not called that. Okay, don't correct
me. Red lion in. Okay, it's a landmark.
Okay. So she's
indentured servants.
So she's talked about this place before. I think we saw it on the last season before she left, right? And she always talks about like Sonia Morgan and how she becomes so unhinged when you talk about the Morgans, right? Mm-hmm. And she's so obsessive about the Morgans. But Dorinda is the exact same way when it comes to her place in Roni. She's the exact same way when it comes to her place in like New York society.
Yeah.
She's the exact same way when it comes to the Berkshires. Anything that Dorinda did at some point in her life was her identity at that time. So like when she talks about like being a waitress at this place from the age of 19 to 24, okay, I have the same job when I was like throughout college and high school, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that just like pivotal moment in my life. I don't think I talked to a single person from that time of my life.
Yeah.
Even if those were very formidable years, because you're like an adult and you're making mistakes and you know, your early 20s, everybody's early 20s are stupid. Like, even though that was an important part of my life, the job that I had at that time certainly did not define who I was. But Dorinda is absolutely a person who is defined by the one thing that she does. Because the one thing she does, she gives her absolute whole life to. Like, even when she's talking about, like, being a hostess, she's like, I'll sleep after everybody leaves, which is a lie because she's been napping for days. But that's how she is. Even when they were taping Roni, I think she was just, like, fully all in on Roni. So when that one thing that she did got taken away, it was devastating. She was Mrs. Medley. She loved being Richard's wife. She loved the role of being Richard's wife. And once he died, it was devastating. She loved being a hostess at the Red Lion Inn. And once she moved up from that, it became like a new, because she married her ex-husband. She married Hannah's father after that, right? So like, I think Dorinda is just somebody who is 100% that one thing. And anybody around her who is maybe tertiarily involved in that one thing, but isn't all in, she finds them to be like disloyal or inauthentic or competition. Like the fact that Jill admitted, like, I would just like to be a friend of on the show. Like Dorinda doesn't think that that's okay. Dorinda doesn't think that anybody should be a friend of. Dorinda is the type of person to say, no, you need to be a housewife and you need to give it your all. And when you're taping, that needs to be your life, right?
Yeah, remember how mean she was to Barbara Kay, Barb the Builder?
She was so mean to Barb the Builder. She was pissed at Tinsley for leaving the show. She was pissed at Bethany for quitting the show. She's psychotic when it comes to these things. And it's because she's a person who lives in absolutes. She absolutely is that one thing. It becomes her identity. This Bluestone Manor is now her identity. And now she has Bluestone bourbon, which is all, it's all, you know, coming from her Berkshire's life.
Yeah, which I want to remind everyone, just a quick reminder, Carol Radswell named it Bluestone Manor. Does everyone remember that? Do you remember that?
I don't know.
So when we went back and watched, that is not the name of it. Like, it never had a name. It was just a house. And when they went there on her second season on, Dorinda's second season on, someone asked, like, if the house had a name, and Dorinda's like, no, it never did. And Ramona and Carol were throwing names back and forth. And Carol was like, what about, like, Bluestone Manor? Because it's, like, a manor, and there's blue stones in the front. Like, I think that's a cute name. And then Ramona is like, that's the name. Bluestone Manor. Bluestone Manor. Dorinda, we got the name. Bluestone Manor. Bluestone Manor. And then she, like, is telling her the name. And Carol's like, what the fuck? Like, I came up with it, not you. But, like, she needs to be writing a check. In the same way that Luann wants her check for Skinny Girl Margaritas, Carol actually needs a check for some of these things. Because she literally named it.
But you know Carol is smart enough to just, like, not bark up that tree. She's like,
because it would be a disaster.
She's like, that lady's Looney Tunes. It's the one thing she has. Like, Carol literally has, like, royal money. And, yeah. And Dorinda's just like, you know, that's all Dorinda has. And Dorinda, that house, I always thought that it was, like, a house that, like, Richard's family had. Mm-mm. But it's not. It's actually a house that her father, when she lived in the Berkshires, when she was a little girl, her father worked on that home. He was in construction and he helped build that house. And so it was one of these, like, dreams she had of one day owning that property. Yeah. And so when she had the money, she bought it. And that's why she's so obsessed.
No, she didn't buy it. Richard bought it for her as a gift.
Richard bought it for her.
The best gift she's ever received is that house.
Yeah. But now he's out there on the tree.
If I asked Richard, I'd be like, I want to be inside. It's cold out here.
You think the big balloon that she put all the people inside the basket was just Richard being like, this is my escape. And then she was like, gotcha, bitch, you're tethered to the ground.
Well, I will say one positive thing about Dorinda, and I appreciate her pride of being like, being a woman who's been able to, like, create a life for myself, like, work. She gets to, like, run a house and do all these things that she always dreamt of as, like, a widowed woman. Like, amazing. You don't think amazing for her? I mean, I get that a lot of the money comes from ex-husbands and dead people, but, like...
Yeah, I think that, look, if you can make your dead husband's money... I'm just fucked up. It's a fucked up thing to say because it's her money, too. She was married to him and whatever. If you can make that work for you and you can continue to be successful, work, good for you. But the thing is that she is tyrannical when it comes to the way that she is doing this. Mm-hmm. And she's not a nice person. Like, if she thinks that this is going to make people, like, definitely want to do the Airbnb and go to Bluestone Manor, all this tells me is that regardless of who stays in that house, you're going to fight. I think the house has it's got evil in it. There's evil in the walls, and it makes people act out of sorts. And I would not want to stay there with my friends. Should we test it?
I mean, I'm. What do you mean? Of course you would stay there. If I was like, I booked the house, and you'd be like, okay, I'm coming.
Okay, fine. Of course.
And but I'm then sure it would be like $10,000 a night. I could never afford it. It would be so expensive.
I know.
Well, so we get this dinner at the Red Lion Inn, which... I really thought we were getting a calm night and the episode was going to be over. And all of a sudden, first of all, the martinis be flowing.
Flowing.
And Dorinda has a famous quote, and I think she could have listened to her quote in this, is one martini is never enough and two, no. What, it's like, one martini is never enough and two is too many. One martini is enough. Two is never enough. Because it's like, after you finish your second, you always want to just have more. And, like, that's the trouble with having your second martini. And these ladies were
I think she said something like two martinis
is good and three is never enough, maybe?
No, she says one martini is not enough. Two is good. They're like boobs. More than two and it's a mess.
You're like boobs.
Because of the boobs.
Yes.
You didn't pick that up because you don't care about boobs.
No, I don't. But I think they're beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, so Martina's bee flowing. Taylor Taylor is blackout.
Mm.
She's blackout. Mm-hmm.
Well, we also know that there was an edible situation involved because of the slowness with which she's talking also. Because
oh,
remember,
think?
Like, two episodes ago, what's her name? Eva was like, I'm going to get Taylor high. And Taylor was like, cool, let's do it. And so she got her a bunch of edibles. And I'm wondering if there was like an edibles plus beverage situation. Because, yeah, she's slipping and slurring, that one.
She is. And she takes the bizarre stance of confronting Brandy about what she said about Adrian.
Fucking Adrian Malouf.
First okay. of all, everyone there is like, I'm sure most people are like, who the fuck is Adrian?
The lady with the gold tinsel in her hair? What about that lady?
I will never let that go. That woman put literal ribbons in her hair.
And, she
and attached them to her scalp and thought that that was cute and luxe.
Listen, if anything I've learned from watching Housewives over the years is mm-hmm. that these rich people don't know how to do their hair.
And Taylor doesn't know how to do her makeup.
Even Taylor's extensions look like shit. I'm not going to lie.
See, I don't notice those things. I wish I did.
They're so not blended well. Okay. It's like they're too long, Taylor. You should have just cut off a good 6 inches from the bottom because they look ridiculous. It makes your head look weird.
Well, so she asked Brandy why she said the thing about Adrian's kids. And Brandy's like, what? And then, what? And then Dorinda gets in the mix. Things get messy. What did Brandy say to Taylor back about Russell?
She said, "Well, your husband killed yourself. I wouldn't say that's successful."
Killed himself, you mean?
Yeah, your husband killed himself. I wouldn't say that's successful.
Right. And that's bad.
thank you. Yeah, just disclaimer, guys. Tom loves Brandy.
No, you have to understand. Like, people don't get why I like people sometimes. Like, no, I don't like her. Like, she sucks. But, like, she's genius for the show because she says something mm-hmm. so god-awful. We're watching god-awful people interact with god-awful people. And, like, she really... That was wild. And I get why everyone was so upset, but Dorinda needs to make every moment about her, of course, and gets in there and starts berating Brandy about it, which at first she was kind of getting to Brandy, like, in a positive way. I feel like we were like, okay, you did. She was like, I did something wrong. Okay, blah, blah, blah. And then Dorinda, out of fucking nowhere, says, what if your son died? What is that? That's not even, that argument doesn't even, like, make sense. It's not, like, relative. Like, it doesn't... The analogy doesn't even work.
It's absolutely
nonsense. And Dorinda
is
fully blackout. Like Tamara is carrying her out of the restaurant.
Yeah. Dorinda was already starting to get drunk when Vicky said, it seems a little stuffy in here. And you saw Dorinda's reaction. I was like, uh-oh, the tornado has entered the building.
Yeah.
But the thing that Dorinda does, and this is like, it's so silly, right? But we know this from years of watching Housewives, is that a housewife wins when she gets to be the victim.
Right.
And Dorinda, Brandy was not the victim in this, but then you allowed her to be the victim by making her the victim. And now she gets to be the one that storms off. And she gets to be the one that's upset and not talking to you. And it's like, you could have just let it go. She already apologized. Taylor was feeling whatever, mm-hmm. but everybody was done. It's the same thing with like the way she handled Jill. Like, yeah, Jill was being annoying to Eva innocently. And she said, no, that's enough. But then Dorinda does too much. She attacks people and then they become upset. And then she's like, oh, now you're going to cry about it. Like, now you're going to get upset about it. How dare you get, I think you're overreacting. I think you're, and then she mocks people when they cry and all that stuff. Like, Dorinda goes too far every single time. And you know what? It's entertaining to watch.
It's wild. I mean, it's the twist. She's always there for a twist. I mean, like, she'll, if you think it's a boring episode, just wait. Like, if you give Dorinda enough vodka, she'll get there. I mean,
she has this like way about her, right, where like she's Spunky walking around the mansion every morning, mm-hmm. you know, hi, hello, good morning, like doing her little like hostess with the mostest thing. And she's got a big smile on her face. Like even in the morning, Jill's like, look, we don't need to talk about what happened last night right now. We can talk about it later. And she's like, no, we can talk about it right now. Let's just talk about it right now.
There is something though that I don't know how to say this. I've seen this before in Friends, like mm-hmm. where they get a little too drunk the night before mm-hmm. and pretend mm-hmm. that they remembered everything that happened and they don't. And she often feels like she's playing catch up with people, like, and that's dark, but like, and I'm saying this like to those that I've experienced that with in my life. I just mean like when we're on a girls trip and we're all having fun and like the next morning, yeah. they don't want to admit to the fact that they have a little too much to drink. But like, yeah. I think it's a common occurrence for Dorinda to need to get a recap list in the morning of what happened the night before, because I don't think she remembers saying all those awful things she said to Joel.
I mean, do you not remember on Roni when she went to Puerto Rico with Bethany and screamed at a guy?
What was it about? It was about his charity or something.
It was about like his charity that like sends children to Haiti, like school in Haiti or something like that, or something of that sort, or in Puerto Rico or something. Like it was a human rights organization that works with children in like poor countries and gets them to school, and she tried to argue with this man, and Bethany literally had to be like, you're a drunk, and Dorinda did not think that she was out of sorts, because Dorinda doesn't have the humility to ever admit her wrongs, mm-hmm. and she's not doing any of the work to try to like address her issues with alcohol or anything. Like you can't fix your problem if you're not going to admit that you have a problem, because in Dorinda's mind she's never the problem. And right. even when she repeats the conversation from the night before, the tone completely changes. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing again. It's like Giovanni. Like she really thought that she was not making an ass of herself with the Giovanni, but in her mind, it's just like, it's, you know, it's revisionist history with Ramona, with Dorinda every single time.
But the only other thing that's weird to me is that she is so comfortable watching it play back, watching the things that she may have, like, quote unquote, forgotten, and she thinks it's funny. Like, Steve, Faces by Bravo, he, like, did a thing of the drink scene in Miami where she's like, now here's what you do, the pre-dress drink, you know, when she's talking to the bartender and mm-hmm. she's like making mm-hmm. the drink, and mm-hmm. it's hilarious,
so funny.
He made this whole thing and she like reshared it and she was like laughing, oh, I'm like I don't think I'd be so comfortable watching myself be this drunk constantly and think it's hilarious.
But she does think it's funny, because she thinks that her point, because Dorinda doesn't think that she thinks her point is correct, even if her delivery is bad. So she thinks you should focus on the fact that her point, like even with Jill, she thinks that you should focus on the fact that Eva was trying to work. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that she screamed at Jill about 100 other things.
Right.
It doesn't matter that Tamara said, okay, I got it, I'm not going to bring the food up to the room. Because in her mind, it's like, no, I was just trying to tell her not to bring food upstairs. It doesn't matter that I was screaming at her and condescending and calling her a 6-year-old and all those things, you know? So
yeah, no, you're right. I think she just blacks out, like not even from alcohol, just like in general. Like she just is like, she hones in on an issue. She's a single issue voter.
You know, she has a problem that my beloved Candace Dillard Bassett has, which is that you were right, but you went too hard to make the point, and now you've lost everyone. I mean, Dorinda is like that times infinity in her version of it, because she's always drunk on top of it. So, and I bet you Dorinda doesn't think that she has a drinking problem, because I'm sure when the cameras, I don't want to say I'm sure. I would think that maybe when the cameras aren't rolling, she's not drinking. So she doesn't think that it's a problem. You think she's drinking a little bit?
That's so sweet of you to think.
I'm like, she only drinks for the cameras.
No. You can just kind of tell. Like, I don't know. This is not her first rodeo. That bar setup she has there at Bluestone Manor is pretty intense.
You're right.
It's like a bar you would have at like a restaurant.
Yeah. She's also just like getting into her stinky bed.
Yeah.
And probably smells like popcorn.
It has to. And that TV is too close. That TV is too close. Because when a TV is the TV raises out of the baseboard, like the bottom of the bed.
Okay, Selling Sunset. What's happening over there?
Right. But then I'm like, I can't have a TV that close to me because then I really will never leave my bed. Like, there needs to be a separation of church and state a bit in the bedroom. church is housewives on the dresser on the other side of the room, not next to me. Yeah.
No, there's this amazing, it's one of my favorite Dorinda lines. I think I told you about it. It's from the episode where she dresses up like Lady Gaga from SNL, and it's a Halloween episode.
Yeah.
And she's
SL drunk. Is in her words.
This is the bubble ticket and you can work on NSL. And this sounds like any time we're gonna miss them.
At the end of the night, she says to Carol, "Why don't you come over? I'll make a chicken. I'll make a roast chicken. We'll get 1, 2, 3 bottles of good wine, and we'll watch Ghost Hunters. It'll be amazing." I was like, "Oh man,
literally what I'm about to do tonight." Because I don't have work tomorrow. I'm like literally about to curl up on the couch with wine and watch Big Brother. With some sushi.
I don't know
sushi.
Why it came into my head. I think I'm going to make like a little like quick like blush sauce and like make some fresh pasta and like.
That sounds so
just have that. Yeah, rewatch the Miss Marvel episode from last night and cry into my pasta.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
That show is amazing.
Yes, it is. That's the other show I've been watching. I didn't mention that.
It's fantastic. If you're not watching it, watch it. You literally don't even need to know anything about Marvel to enjoy it.
No, it's like its own show.
Yeah, if you're like not a Marvel person, it does not matter. There's barely any references to Marvel shit.
No, barely.
Although I am waiting for when... Don't you think Brie Larson is going to show up at the very end or something?
I think she'll show up at the end. I thought she was going to show up in like a post-credit scene at the end of this episode, which I was surprised that she did not.
Wait, is next week the finale?
Next week is the finale. It's a 6-episode joint. I think that she's going to show up because Miss Marvel is supposed to be in the next
In the Marvels,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Great. Well, that's all we have for today, y'all.
Wait, I have one
else?
More thought.
What else?
When Jill is on the phone with her mother by the pool.
Her mother is like, "I'm going to drag Dorinda the streets
of
the Upper East Side."
She says it's the best. It's so respectful and lovely. Like, I wish one day that I could be this person, but I know that I'm from New Jersey and I'm just going to be like a motherfucking grandma. So, but she says on the phone, she says, "Dorinda, better not. I hope I never see Dorinda again. Because if I did, she would have an extraordinarily bad day."
You know what that means? She just like take some locks from the local deli and throw them at her. Like, what is old lady v old lady Upper East Side violence? Like,
I know. It's like a snub. It's like a hard stare. It's like a hello. Like
I'd cut her in line at the deli.
Yeah, it's like a curt hello and like not making eye contact and like a snub with the shoulder. It's like, that sounds like something Sutton would say. "I better not see you or you will have an extraordinarily bad day."
And then they'd be like, "Well, what are you going to do to me?" And she'd be like, "Nothing."
Or what? Erica's makeup is out of control. I know we're not talking about Beverly Hills, but I just want to say her makeup is so bad.
It's bad. Are you now? I'm about to out myself in a really scary way, but I watch Southern Charm. Are you watching Southern Charm?
No, I quit it many years ago.
Okay, so I'm not proud of it. Let's just be clear. Yeah. I'm not interested in like recapping it, but. But did you see Catherine's makeup at the end of the first episode?
Okay, Catherine has been on a makeup apocalypse since her first season, where she showed up in just like lashes and like no eyebrows. I think it was just thick eyebrows and big old lashes and like her comb over. And like, she's just been that disaster of a person. This girl's been on television since she was 21 years old.
She's another case study that we need.
I mean, her makeup, her lipstick was Dorinda's lipstick in Cartagena.
It's like
when she's starting.
Yes, but even worse, honestly.
Yeah. Because it looks touched up. It looks like somebody, she went to the bathroom and fixed it.
I think it looks like she put powder over smudged lipstick. Like, because like, she has Kool-Aid mouth a bit, where like, or fruit punch mouth, like, where you can see just like remnants of red things around the lips. Do you not know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, she looks like, well, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about because I have two little boys.
Yeah, I mean, I did not like fruit punch as a kid, but like, I remember.
I know that face.
I remember looking at my friends being like, you're disgusting.
Yeah, it's like the face that you get as a toddler when you like have an icy in a hot summer day, yes, you know? Like, yeah. If you've like just made out with a guy in the dark at the club. That's the face that she has.
Sure. Is that, see, lipstick combo with making out doesn't seem like it, I don't know.
Nobody likes it. Yeah. I don't like it. My husband doesn't like it, but it happens sometimes. And then you look at yourself like in the mirror and you go,
a dick with lipstick on? Like, is there lipstick on the dick?
Yes.
Like a lot?
No, it's just there.
The dick has like fruit punch mouth?
I mean, it depends on how far you're going with the dick.
Well,
my brother listens to this episode and
listens to my podcast. I know we have a wonderful connection, your brother.
We did not talk enough about Fast and the Furious on this episode.
Well, what is there to say? I've talked about magnets at length. I can't talk about it anymore. No one knows what we're talking about. Well, all I'll say quickly is the last Fast and the Furious movie, the whole drama is magnets. And the idea is that these people have the strongest magnets in the world. They can pull cars through buildings. Like, they can pull your car from the other side of the Empire State Building and it ends up on the other side. My big issue with that is, what happens to all of the human beings who have either piercings, metal plates in their head, leg? Like, with a magnet of that size, you're just killing people.
Or if you have a necklace that like
strangles you, or yeah,
if you're on Real Housewives of Miami, you put metal beads in your dick.
Right, those metal beads are flying out of your peen. I don't know. I'll never get over it. I think F9 really needs to take a look within, because they did not think that through.
Need to assess the impact of giant magnets. It makes no sense. Albert.
I was like in the movie theater being like, is anyone else not getting why this is a problem?
There's other magnets than cars in the world, guys.
Yeah, like it's not a car magnet. It's just a metal magnet. Okay, well, that's enough on this. But Nora, tell everyone where they can listen to you, follow you, all that stuff.
You can listen to me everywhere where podcasts are heard, The Reality Is. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Reality Is Pod.
You good?
Just thinking about the magnets, and it's so funny.
You can follow me at The Tim Hamlin, and then the podcast is Dumpster Dive Pod. And rate, review, subscribe to all the pods you love, because it is the freest way to support content creators. And have a fabulous rest of your morning, day, evening, night, whatever. Do you have one more thing, Nor?
I have one more thing, because I'm so tickled by this magnet conversation. I am going to really, so the reason why we're talking about it is because Tom and I talked about it a couple months ago. Then you came on my Patreon that I do with my brother to talk about an old Atlanta episode. But the first 18 minutes of that episode are you and my brother talking about the Fast and the Furious movies. And it is from our listeners, it's a beloved moment. So I'm going to release that episode soon on the main, on a week when I have like, when I don't feel like fucking watching Beverly Hills and talking about it. So you guys can go over there.
I can't, I do need to listen to it because it was wild.
It's so silly. It's so silly.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.